This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Sarah Spain is with us now. And again, tomorrow night, she is going to have a virtual event, but I don't want to tell you too much about it before we try and make this bet happen between her and Billy Cubs Marlins. What is it? How is it that people can be involved with this tomorrow night? We like to be have a certain intimacy with our audience, and Sarah is part of the Le Batard and Friends Network. So what is it that you're doing? Why and how?
Hi, guys. It's a live virtual That's What She Said podcast. Before COVID, there was actually going to be a cool three-city tour and at the House of Blues and the Gramercy Theater and all these cool places. Unfortunately, for now, just going to be virtual, so people can go to bit.ly/TWS1020, so bit.ly/TWSS1020, and register for free. Going to talk to Julie Foudy about selling her life rights to Netflix for the 99ers feature film that they're doing, and partnering up with Natalie Portman and Jennifer Garner and all these superstars for the new soccer team they just founded. And then Reali and our buddy Izzy are going to join and give all sorts of behind-the-scenes secrets of Around the Horn. I promise there will be at least one Jay Mariotti leaving voicemails for Tony about not winning enough story. So people could sign up and then submit questions and dilemmas and hang out and watch the show live and hear all the stuff before it gets edited for Disney quality and content.
All right, hold on just a second, because that is the single
raw version.
Hold on, I need to slow everything down here, because that is the worst I've ever heard in terms of a promotion, giving someone a tangled bit.ly/TWSS1020. That is terrible. Like, I mean, nobody is going to find that that way.
Some people don't know that bit.ly is like a thing. They don't know the dot in the middle, but it's all over my social media. So it's on my, you know, Twitter, my Insta. Go to those places and click on the link. It's not that hard to find. You type in bit.ly/TWSS1020 and there you are.
Did you,
seems very tricky.
Hold on. Did you say that Jay Mariotti left voicemails for Tony Reali complaining that he wasn't winning enough on Around the Horn?
I don't know. You have to come to the show tomorrow and find out more.
You got to be kidding me. Like, I thought Bayless was the worst on that front. Jay Mariotti used to leave Reali voicemails saying I'm not winning enough?
I don't see the problem. I mean, I got to be honest.
You have to be kidding me. All right, Billy, what do you got for Sarah here? It's Cubs and Marlins. I want to hear, is she feeling overly confident against your team?
Well, before Billy goes, I am wondering, Sarah, do you feel confident enough? Because we are hoping to drum up a bet here between you and Billy. Are you confident enough in your Chicago Cubs here?
I am as confident as one can be for a team that has the lowest batting average of any postseason team in history other than this year's Reds. Which is to say, yes, because your team was outscored by 41 runs. So there's going to be a lot of weird playoff teams this year. I feel good about it. I'm ready.
Bah, don't worry about that run differential, sir. I know Dan keeps telling you run differential. That happened in like two games, those minus 41 runs. It's been a weird season. I feel like me and you, they're trying to pit us against each other, right? But we're just fans of the game. I think it works a lot better if Dan or Stugatz pay off this bet, right? Because those are the names on the marquee that people want to see embarrassed if something happened. Not Billy Gill. Who cares about Billy Gill, you know?
That is,
I mean,
funny.
I think a lot of us see you embarrassed on a regular basis, so it's not as
exactly
odd, but I think we'd also like to see more of it. Yeah.
Well, that turned.
So, Sarah, because Pablo is saying here, the Marlins fans are looking for the media members that they can attack. So Pablo is calling the Marlins the most unfamiliar human beings in the world, the Marlins. And Jeff Passan is saying that on the set of Baseball Tonight, Billy, during commercial breaks, they have contests where one guy will try and name a Marlin and another guy will try and name a Marlin, and they end very quickly because no one on the set of Baseball Tonight, Billy, can name a whole bunch of Marlins. That's what you're going up against her mighty Cubs with.
Well, it's time to clean out the set of Baseball Tonight then and get some baseball experts in there. You know what I mean? June Lee, what are you doing? You don't know the Marlins?
This said by a guy who didn't know Liam Hendricks was still in the league and is actually crushing it for the A's as their closer right now, and thought that he
How
was
crazy is that?
Kyle Hendricks, who is a World Series league champion and one of the best pitchers in the league.
That's insane that Liam Hendricks is still a thing, isn't it? Like, he was an all-star after not being a great starter forever, and now he's like this great closer.
Yeah, it's a great story. By the way, speaking of great stories, I appreciate that we've gotten this far into the interview without you guys bringing up the most notable incident in Cubs Marlins history. Because I just want to point out that people are so critical of Cubs fans for what was a very dark and ugly moment in our history. And yet they're repeating it by sending me an unlimited number of gifts and photos of the gentleman in question whose name I will not utter, because I think we should stop bothering him and leave him out of this. And all the people who criticize us for being terrible to him are the ones who are now bringing him up every single second. Let's just leave him out of this. It never happened. We never have to talk about it again.
You should really be a lot nicer to Steve Bartman. I know you guys, after you ruined his life made him move away and he couldn't make a living and he had to go into witness protection for decades, you guys gave him a ring and you thought, oh, this is okay. We ruined this person's life forever, but we gave him a nice championship ring, all is forgiven, and he won't even talk to you guys. It's really a shame how you treated him. It really is.
Yeah. It's really a shame that you keep bringing him up.
It is. You guys want to make a bet?
It is such a blight on their organization that they basically ran one of their biggest fans, the fellow fans. They were piranha. They were cannibal piranha. They just ate him up. Billy, what else do you have for Sarah Spain here? Are you willing to go down the bet?
Hey, I have pain for Sarah Spain today at 2 o'clock, Dan Le Batard. I've been holding it in too long. This is going to be a quick 2-day work trip at Wrigley. And Sarah's going to say, oh, this Kyle Hendricks is so good. He has like a 1.whatever ERA at home this year. He's such a guess who they haven't seen. Anyone outside of the Central, Sarah. Bad news is coming to the Cubs today in the form of Sandy Alcantara and Jesus Aguilar and the rest of the Marlins, Miguel Rojas.
Would it be insulting to your sensibilities down there if I called him Alcantara the whole day? Would that be frustrating for you guys?
If you were super gringo about it, if you weren't call him by with respectfully, I think you should avoid that one. bit.ly/TWSS1020 if you're driving around your car and just got into an accident because you tried to type this into your phone.
We have tweeted out the link from @LeBatardShow on Twitter, so go ahead and do that there because it is it's a bit jumbled.
So what do we do here if you want to do a bet?
What's the bet?
Yeah, should we send you like croquetas or something if you lose? And
you do that like hacky bet where you're both mayors of the city?
A food bet?
Well, I want to do something that's like
deep dish.
Yeah, I want to limit the amount of embarrassment that I get if this falls apart very quickly today.
Really? That is not a great deal of confidence in bet making. You're going to go and buy 10 cent croquetas for $1?
What the shipping's going to be on that, Dan?
You just offered her a bet to bet her $1. That is your level of confidence in the Marlins? A couple of croquetas?
Shipping's going to cost so much more than the food.
Yeah, the shipping, that's what gets you. Your buddy Jeremy Pache, he and I are betting, I have to sing Go Fish Go if they win, and he has to sing whatever that terrible Scott Stapp Marlin song is with the Cubs in it.
Marlins will soar.
That's a good bet. Marlins and a great song.
Marlins will soar.
Mike, can you play Marlins Will Soar? Can we just get Marlins Will Soar so we can trash talk Sarah Spain with Scott Stapp, who famously was saved in a Miami Beach hotel back when you could visit those things from a suicide attempt by T.I. That's a thing that happened. Creed is, yes, I'm not making that up, Billy. You think I'm making it up? I'm not making it up. And we are in a position here where the Marlins, when was this, Billy? Do you remember when Stapp created the song that the Marlins will soar? Because the Marlins never soared after that, right?
It was in the down years when they were not soaring.
Okay, so it's been 17 years since the Marlins have soared, and we're going to sit around here until Mike finds this song and tell you again, bit.ly/TWSS1020.
There has to be a better way.
There has to be. It's a free event.
Makes perfect sense. TWSS, that's what she said.
Unbelievable. I've
October
never heard anything.
It's perfect.
You can't.
Billy's got it.
Yes.
And it is
today.
Oh,
my God.
So good.
Come on, Marlins, make us proud.
Oh my God. Oh, I hate it so much.
Ugh.
I mean, we already won.
Faith and love, Sarah. That's all you need to soar.
You've got Scott Stapp. Listen, I know Stu Gatz is super salty about this matchup. Eddie Vedder versus Scott Stapp, the runaway.
We got Pitbull. I've got tears in my eyes right now. Here, Aguilar and Alcantara. You better learn that name, Sarah. You better learn that name, Alcantara.
We didn't even get
like
to
put it in the loser column.
All right, she's out of here.
Yeah,
thank you.
Gonna get rocked.
So there's no bet.
All right, no, we need a bet. We need a bet.
We need a bet.
We need a bet. What's going on?
Billy, loser eats an onion?
No, God, no. I almost died.
All right, we're going to figure this out and shame them into betting later. Thank you, Sarah. That's what she said. Virtual podcast tomorrow night, 8 p.m.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Speaking of which, if you're looking for more content from us, you will find on South Beach Sessions, you will find a conversation with Boog Shambi. I believe there are two people at this network who have more command of their sport than anyone. Two people. It's Ariel Helwani and it's Boog Shambi. Those are the two, I would say, that know more, have more expertise about what it is that they're delivering to you than anybody. Boog Shambi talks about his craft on South Beach Sessions. Stu Gatz on Stupidity. You guys wanted more Jeff Perlman. He was great. We didn't have enough time with him when we had him on last week. And he was so great that Stu Gatz and I both spent time with him to talk about different subject matters. Stu Gatz is doing his career of books, and Jeff Perlman might be the finest sports author that we have at the moment, where he goes in and digs in on a team. And it's a team you care about, and it's a team that's interesting. He makes good choices, and he tells interesting stories. And he thinks his USFL book is the best of the books, not those crazy cowboy teams, not this book on the Lakers of Shaq and Kobe.
I spent very little time with him on the Lakers. You spent a good deal of time with him on the Lakers. You're right. I was asking him, best story, Brett Favre, Gunslinger. He wrote that book, and he gave me a great Brett Favre story. He's written some fascinating books.
I cannot wait for the South Beach session to come out with Jeff Perlman, because it's fascinating, and it's going to be a massive storyline for this NBA Finals. The Lakers announced they're going to wear their Mamba uniforms for Game 2 and Game 7. If necessary, it's going to be a major storyline. The passing of Kobe Bryant.
The Perlman stuff on Kobe Bryant was so rich and deep and fascinating, and it was a marvel to hear him talk about how insecure Kobe was, how much of a bad teammate he was, and the last time that there was a finals that felt like this, Pistons and Lakers, Shaq and Kobe. Perlman just says flatly, Kobe went in to win the finals MVP, didn't care about anything else, just was going to take all the shots, and the Lakers never forgave him for that. That's the last time we saw an upset of the magnitude that you would see in this series if the fifth-seeded Heat can take out the two best players, because the two best players don't ever get taken out. When you've got the two best players in a series, basically, the only times you lose is when it's LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, and when it's Kobe and Shaq, and that's it.
Yeah, we had to reconcile due to his tragic passing in that helicopter accident along with his daughter, the man that Kobe Bryant eventually became with the person that he was during his playing days. And there were controversial things in Eagle, Colorado, and him not being a great teammate. Posthumously, he is now remembered as a great leader, right? Mamba mentality. But according to Jeff Perlman's book, not a great leader.
Well, he was doing it the way, by mimicking on purpose the Michael Jordan stuff. I got to be a bleep hole. I can't do this without being a bleep hole. And it's going to be interesting to see how people consume him, because the reporting is so deep on this one, Stu Gatz. And because he was doing it before Kobe died. Like, this is not malintent. He's not trying to come out here and smear the dead.
Right.
He's just trying to give you a full chronicling of what a human being is as the mythology gets a hold of him. Like, because we will make, and he says, he was not dragging him through TMZ dirt. He says, no, with the birth of his children came change. With Family Man, he poured himself into that at the end. But the mistakes beforehand, they're pretty monstrous mistakes
One of them sounds like a crime, just flatly, that he was guilty of a crime the way that Perlman presents it, and a crime that would have totally changed. Like, think about Stugatz.
Would have changed a lot.
Stugatz,
yes.
Kobe Bryant was on the magazine covers as a racist, as a rapist. He was on the magazine covers for years, and he was able to reinvent himself and his image in Hollywood when he kept winning toward the end of his career. And at the end, it becomes about, you know, the girl dad is what it becomes about.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the interview, but there are just some jaw-dropping details surrounding a private team plane and the Lakers' knowledge of this incident as it was happening and stuff that'll just make your jaw drop. So it's a fascinating interview. I can't wait to put it out.
What were the USFL stories that you guys covered? Because Perlman likes that book, Stugatz.
I just went through every one of his books, and I said, give me the best story about this topic. USFL, go. Gunslinger, Brett Favre, go. And he gave me the best story from each one of his books because I knew you had covered the Lakers stuff.
I want to get into some Jimmy Butler stuff because we revise these guys as we get deeper and deeper into the playoffs. I want to do that before the show is over, but we get to Howard Bryant next. He wrote an article that you should read, first of all, but we're going to talk to him about it next.
The NFL has issued a statement on the Steelers-Titans game. It is postponed. It will be played either Monday or Tuesday. How about that little Tuesday night football?
Bruce, there you go. There it is. Stugatz hoping football teams get sicker so he gets more games. Howard Bryant with us now on ESPN Radio. So I'm considered woke-a-tard. People say that I'm on the left, but I had never thought, really, Howard, until recently about all the glorification of police officers that the movies do, that wrap that job in something that we're seeing now, all of us in America, is something slightly less heroic than that. So Howard Bryant with us. Thank you for making the time. But why did you write what you wrote about 9/11? And can you explain to the people, please, what it is you wrote if they haven't had time to see it?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I mean, I think that really what started it was by the time you hit what happened with George Floyd and then you just look at the entire summer, I think we just reached the tipping point. I've been thinking about this and writing about this subject for years about how much 9/11 has changed sports. 9/11 is the number one cultural shift in American, in American culture for our generation. And when you look at what has happened to sports, I think if you're of a certain age, we remember when there were games before flags and flyovers and all of this other stuff, right? And so for the last 20 years, this is what sports has been. And now all of a sudden you see what's taken place with the players starting to take more control, and you've got this collision. And so this entire summer I've been watching, and by the time we got to the 9/11 honoring this year, on the one hand you've got Black Lives Matter on the basketball court, and on the other hand you've got at the US Open, you've got we support the NYPD while Naomi Osaka's got a mask on with George Floyd's name on it, and then behind that in the crowd in the stands you've got a cutout of Eric Garner and images of Black people killed by police. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, one, we're arguing about politics, and two, can these images coexist at the exact same time? These images are exactly diametrically opposed to each other. One, one message exists because of the other message. And so to me, I started to step back and take a look, and I was thinking that after 20 years, maybe it is time, or I actually do believe it is time, that the 9/11 era in sports, not 9/11, not honoring 9/11 itself, but all of the police glorification, the law enforcement appreciation nights. How can you have Black Lives Matter on the court the same night you're going to have law enforcement appreciation night? I mean, all of these different messages are smashing into each other in sports. And I'm just asking myself, what are we looking at? And how does sports navigate these messages, which are in complete diametric opposition to each other?
So explain to the people who might not know sort of what happened after 9/11 in terms of sports celebrating police officers. Explain to them the link between then and now.
Yeah, well, that was the other point, was that, I mean, I lived in New York. I was covering the Yankees on 9/11, and so I remember all of that very, very specifically and very personally. And it was very interesting to me when you start thinking about what's happened in the 19 years after 9/11, how it's essentially the honoring of those, you know, of that day has turned into an honoring of law enforcement, when actually 343 firemen were, you know, were killed that day, and you have 2,500 civilians were killed that day. But yet, in the 20 years after, we've essentially seen more and more and more of a police presence. And so the real question for me had been, how has it been over these past, you know, two decades that 9/11 has become almost completely synonymous with police and police only? And so, and I think this is something that the sports leagues have done. Obviously, it was an incredibly traumatic day. But if you go back and look, the two really don't have as much to do with each other singularly as the marketing of it and the selling of it has, you know, would lead you to believe. That day was about a lot of things, and it wasn't only police. And yet police have been the thing that have been sold on, you know, at sporting events throughout, you know, the last 20 years.
Is there a change in how police have been viewed through sports? Like, is there, do you believe that that marks a line of, well, a lot of white fans thought of police this way before, black fans thought this way, but then something changed that day?
Well, the numbers have shown, I mean, there's probably no greater gap between black and white in terms of their viewpoint than how they view police, whether favorably or unfavorably. It's almost, it's like 80% of white Americans view police one way, and it's like almost in the 50s in the other way. So this issue is the divisive issue anyway. I think it's just in addition to what we've seen in the rest of the culture, but I think in sports, the reason why it's so important is because now you're seeing these leagues, especially whether it's football or basketball, you know, we've got an 80% black league in the NBA of protests specifically on this issue. And no matter how much we want to talk about social justice and all the different words we try to use, it really is a one-issue protest. They're talking about police. Right. You can have love us and vote and education reform and group economics on the back of your jerseys. But all of this is really about Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Eric Garner and the rest of it.
So, Howard, in your opinion, in 2020, can these two messages, can these two things coexist?
Well, it's going to be real interesting when the fans come back. And I don't think they can. I think that and I do think that it was a very, very clever sort of marketing experience over the past 20 years to really increase the presence of police here. I think it's very appropriate, and I think it's obvious and it's smart. And 20 years is a long time. I did a class the other day where I was talking to folks, the kids over at San Jose State. 22 kids in that class, I think 19 of them weren't even born on 9/11. It's 20 years. It's been a long time. I think that you can dial back all of the law enforcement appreciation nights. I think if people say they don't want politics in their sports, then dial back all of these messages and these messagings. And I think that on 9/11, you can honor 9/11. And so it can be a one day, incredibly respectful thing, as it should be. But the fact that professional sports over the past, if you go back and look at last year, there are, I think, 127 law enforcement appreciation nights over a 365-day calendar. And that strikes me as inappropriate.
You should read the article, okay? This is just a smattering of it. And Howard Bryan has been doing a lot of good writing on these subjects and other subjects for ESPN for a long time. So go seek it out because it's worth your time. But Rex Everett Chapman is an American retired professional basketball player and social media influencer. And he wrote last night that these post-debate people have to fill time by breaking down that debate in quote marks, but they should all just sit there in silence, arms folded, while the Chiron is flashing, quote, Trump refuses to condemn white supremacy, then shouts out orders to a violent neo-fascist group. Howard, how did you experience that? Proud Boys stand back and stand by?
Would it be fair for me to say I turned that debate off after about 22 minutes with these, after Biden called him a clown, and I was like, okay, if you guys aren't going to just start fighting, I don't want to watch this.
Okay.
The whole thing, it was like I thought Chris Wallace was like, he was like a WWE referee where it's like, I've lost all control of the situation. All of this has been what we've seen, whether you're going back to Charlottesville, whether you're going back, this is what it's been. This is what everybody has, gotten used to. I don't think that there was a whole lot that I saw last night other than, a massive, massive embarrassment for, you know, for this country. We try to be the moral voice for democracies around the world, and we look like a banana republic. We really do look silly.
I put you in a bad spot if I ask you whether this network owes Jemele Hill an apology.
I think, yeah, of course. But you would not be you if you didn't put somebody in a bad spot on the air, right?
Well said.
You already nailed me last time when we did this, and you were like, hey, where you been the last 3 years now that ESPN's willing to let us talk about this stuff? I'm like, I've been in mothballs, Dan. Why do you ask?
You know what, Howard? Yeah, Howard, I'll bail you out. I'm sorry. I didn't actually mean to put you in a bad spot. Like, if you don't want to answer that, that doesn't reflect poorly on you.
No, I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, I look at it this way. You look at what happened with the Kaepernick deal with Disney, and Jemele's going to be part of that. 100%, right? This country has been shifting, and it's moving at such a fast rate. I always felt, at the end of the day, that and I still think about this. What would have happened? How would history have changed if people had just left things alone and let it ride? I think we all would have survived a little better.
Howard, thank you. Thank you for being on with us, and thank you for your reporting. Again, check out the story. It's worth your time. Thank you, Howard.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Howard. Today on ESPN Daily, the NBA Finals tip-off tonight between the Heat and the Lakers. Brian Windhorst details LeBron's history with the Heat and what we should expect from King James. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
All right, this is a very big day in South Florida sports. We are excited. Billy is excited. He has reached the checking the weather portion of his postseason fear. The wind is blowing out at 20 miles.
All bets are off, Dan. All bets are off. 20 mile per hour winds blowing out. Who knows what's going to happen now? All bets are off. I don't know if
I don't know
that.
What that means.
Does that mean your bet with Sarah Spain?
That one's off for sure.
Okay. I want to get a bet locked in. We're going to probably do that during the postgame show because we got to figure out what is on the line. But I also wanted to ask Tony and Mike if it was possible. Well, and if Billy's interested, we're going to do another one of these Twitch streams for a Heat playoff game here, or Heat finals game at some point during these finals. But I think, Billy, people would really enjoy being able to watch a Marlins postseason game with you and Chris. Is that something that you'd have any interest in, or would you not want to watch a playoff game that way?
Well, okay. First, I'm very boring as a person, so you won't actually enjoy that. Secondly, I was thinking about doing it with Sarah because Sarah is, you know, a Cubs fan, so you'd have people on both sides. But Sarah's watching these games from rooftops across the street from Wrigley, so she's not going to be available. And Chris is on vacation, so we'll see. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not an entertaining person. I'm a boring person, and I'm not fun to watch games with because I'm miserable the whole time. But if you want to laugh at my misery, sure, we can see if we can figure something out.
Let's figure that out. I think people would
laughing at your misery would be fun.
I think they might enjoy you pulling the surprise. Like, this is a weird team and a weird time. This is the time that the Marlins will have a chance because everything is distorted, and apocalyptic 20-mile-per-hour tornado fire winds are blowing out of Wrigley like they are in California, and maybe you score 9 runs as mashers against a team that doesn't make a lot of contact today.
Why don't we get you in there with like David Sampson? We could dress it up a bit, give it some personality. I mean, we could do something like that for you, Bill.
People have things to do. Like, they're not just waiting around to watch a game on Zoom with me at a moment's notice.
All right, put it on the poll. It doesn't have to be this one. It can be the next one.
There might only be two, though.
I mean, it might have to be either the next one. Or
today or tomorrow.
Yeah, so.
But Billy, so little faith in your team. These people think
20-mile-per-hour wins, Dan. All bets are off.
They think you're going to be out. Mike and Stugatz think you're going to be out after two games, that this day you've been waiting for 17 years, Billy. You don't come to work on opening day. You're the last young person in America who cares about baseball.
I'm not hating. I said it might be that way. It could very well be because the Marlins sweep them in two.
Right, there exactly.
Dan.
Yes.
Yeah, Dan, did you take that into consideration? That could be why.
Well, no, if they sweep them in two, then we'd have plenty of chances to do this. You guys were saying their season was going to be. Don't try and trick me with your semantics.
I'm trying to make me a hater. This?
I'm so confident that I am willing to do a live stream next round.
The NLDS? I mean.
You are so scared, Billy. So what is it? Is it? Are you happy right now or are you scared? Are you
I'm everything, Dan, and I have such a bad tummy ache today, and I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know if I ate something that got me sick. I don't know if it's stress. I don't know if I'm hungry. I don't know if I ate too much. I don't know what it is. It could be an ulcer. It could be a kidney stone. I don't know what's causing this, but guess what? I'm also not going to a hospital right now because that's a crazy place to be. So I'm just going to kind of hope that it's stress about this baseball game and I get through it and we can get through it
so
together.
So bad for you, man.
It's such a terrible way to live. You're afraid of the hospital and you're afraid of the sickness that sends you to the hospital and you're afraid of the baseball team that causes the sickness.
It's like a roller coaster with very few peaks.
It's a roller coaster straight down into hell.